Well, shall we return to God's word? I'll read the passage one more time. I believe it's on page 1522 in your Purek Bibles. Thank you. The faith of a Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The word of the Lord. One Saturday when I was 8, I went to a friend's birthday party. It was either show off or be shown the door, I thought to myself, suiting up head to toe in pads at the skate park. Whatever happens here will be all the talk of recess on Monday. This isn't a time for the faint of heart, because with faith, anything is possible. And so after warming up, we all walk over to the tallest ramp, or at least what seemed to be the tallest ramp, to a couple of 8-year-old kids at a skate park. "Kent, you go first," they cheered. And naturally, not wanting to disappoint, I find myself walking up what feels to be 100 steps to the top. I don't know about this, guys," I stammer, in between swallowing a dry lump in my throat. "This isn't a great idea," my body shivering in a nervous sweat. "We have faith in you," all three of them cheering. "With faith, anything is possible." "Oh, sure," I thought to myself. Now my friends pick the time to be pious Christians. And so stepping out onto that ledge, hesitating, "I have faith, all right, faith, I'll be in the hospital." Now pressing down with my foot, dropping into the ramp, "I've done it," I cry. Seconds before slipping and blasting my right shoulder into the concrete. Faith, it turns out, wasn't improving my ability to skateboard. Faith, too, in biblical times, didn't always yield the results that one expected. Oftentimes, the humble faith a person had, even that would end up being tested. Today in our text, we meet the story of the Canaanite woman, a descendant of Ham's son who had first been cursed by Noah. Her ancestors, former Baal worshippers, had often led Israel astray. And now it is here that we see her standing on an old dusty road near the edge of Tyre and Sidon, or in the land of dogs, as it was affectionately called by some of the Jews of the time, forgotten on the outer edge of Israel. The woman leaves her demon-possessed daughter locked up at home, who all morning has been twisting and convulsing, shouting curses up at heaven. But even the best Canaanite doctor is helpless, because for this ailment, there is no easy solution. Sure, with faith, anything is possible, but faith doesn't always bring quick relief. For the Canaanite woman, she couldn't just place faith into some tiny little pill and give it to her daughter. There was no take three times daily prescription fix for demon possession. And as much faith as she might have that things would get better, there was no apparent end in sight. And so, spending her days wandering from house to house, her neighbors begin to tell her of a man, the promised Jewish Messiah foretold of in ancient prophecy. Yet knowing the chances of God incarnate finding her are slim, she continues falling into despair. When this particular morning, suddenly she sees it, far in the distance, the dust stirring. Could it be? Lord, Son of David, she cries out, tears streaming down her sun-beaten face. Have mercy, my daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly. Yet Jesus, being his usual enigmatic self, walks by having not said a word. Having just left his own hometown, where few there had any faith in him. Surely this non-Israelite couldn't be any better. And the apostles too, perhaps equal parts confused and annoyed, tired of the incessant croaking and squawking of that pesky Gentile woman, finally crack. Send her away, Jesus! She keeps crying out after us. Jesus responds that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The Canaanite woman, now remembering all those nights she used to tuck her daughter into bed, runs and throws herself at the feet of Jesus. Lord, help me! She gasps, choking between fits of sobbing and wailing. Jesus responding, raising an eye to the apostles, almost speaking their words for them, summarizing Israel's refusal to be a blessing to the other nations in just a few short words. It is not right for me to take what is for the children and give it to the dogs. Dog, she hears. The words attaching themselves, burrowing deep inside her sense of self. Unpersuaded, remembering that with faith, anything is possible, she stammers, letting the words crawl from her mouth. Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Even the dogs, she says. Even today, we can feel like those dogs. Feeling like those sufferable creatures God tests before decidedly moving on without fulfilling our requests. Feeling as if God has simply spent his energy elsewhere. It wouldn't really be that hard to imagine, considering how far human sin has reached into the depths of our lives. In our total depravity, left calling on the outskirts of God's providential road, nobody knows this better than the Ursary family. As one sunny Saturday evening, there was a cry for help. And then two cries for help. A third cry for help. And before long, six fading screams, searching for the shore of Panama City Beach, Florida. What had started as a dream vacation for the Ursary family began feeling like a nightmare. With mom resting peacefully on the sunlit sand, her two sons, Noah, age 8, and Stephen, age 11, began to swim. Each brother wanting to be a little bit braver than the next, swim out a bit farther, and a bit farther, and finally a bit too far, unaware of the rip current forming beneath her tiny, ticklish feet. As the undertow reaches up and grabs them, the boys begin crying, Mom, help us! Mom! Mom shooting up from the sand, rushing down to the water, swimming out to save them. only for her, too, to be caught in the rip torrent. "Dad! Dad!" the three of them start yelling. His dad comes rushing down to the water, only for him also to be caught in the rip current. "Mike! Mike!" they yell, as their 27-year-old nephew, followed by grandma and another identified beach couple, rush down to the water, only for all of them too to be caught in this dangerous rip current. Now the six of them, tired from treading water, lungs gasping, chests fighting the pressure of the waves, are left crying out, hoping that anybody will save them. And yet when Jesus encounters the Canaanite woman, this is where he finds her. Alone, suffering, drowning in misery, waiting for it to end. Though Jesus, not content in letting her suffer, after having traveled to these furthest-most regions, to the area north of Galilee, clarifies and restates what Israel's mission ought to have been. Being not inward-focused, but being a blessing to the nations. First testing and then acknowledging, building and rewarding the faith of one whom the Israelites commonly thought was less than human. His gracious efforts leading him to this place where a lonely and afflicted Canaanite woman lay pleading at his feet, with her saying that even the kunaria, the Greek word here potentially implying puppy and not dog, that even the puppies eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus, now amazed by the faith her words display, lifts the woman to her feet, taking the hem of his garment and wiping away the muddy tears from her face. "You have great faith," he says. "Your request is granted." It was sola fide, by faith alone, that her daughter was healed. Centuries of historical, political, and religious animosity that had divided the Jews and the Canaanites could not stop God. God, who is not content to let anyone suffer. And yet it still may seem strange to us why Jesus would use this word kunorios, or puppy, to describe her. And though we can't cut the Gordian knot in one sermon, it isn't hard to see Jesus echoing out loud the opinions of Israel at large, how they had labeled and categorized others, prompting an easy descent into their dehumanizing of them. Jesus echoing out loud as a way to contrast with his compassion, as he acknowledged, and may we even say boldly challenged, the racism, sexism, and classism of the common era. That unworthy Canaanite woman, the others had surely thought, as they pleaded for Jesus to send her away. She could not claim merit, righteousness, social standing, the dominant race or gender. And yet we see God not only healing her daughter, but praising her for her faith alone. For Jesus took the time to listen and heard what she had to say, his ears aching with grace, listening to every last syllable foaming from the mouth of this peculiar and sufferable stranger. When even the apostles had desired to send her away, God searched, God found, God refined through testing, and God healed, because with faith, anything is possible. And truly, this is the same faith that God is responding to today. God, when hearing our cries, is not content to let us suffer, and so takes active steps to deliver us from our afflictions. Unfortunately, not in all cases of water rescue, though at least in this story, to show us the inbreaking of his divine majesty at work in the world. In the case of the Ursary family, their cries for help landed on the ears of one young couple. The couple, Derek and Jessica Simmons, with the help of some other strong swimmers, gathered up in a matter of minutes roughly 80 people before executing a rescue nothing short of divine favor. As one by one they swim out into the water, forming a human chain, held together by the strength and value of human life. The strength of this human chain begin pulling all six people back to shore, saving each and every one of their lives. News stations from across the country reporting on the incident are left remarking how, regardless of their age, their social standing, their religion, or their ethnicity, they were rescued. An unmerited rescue, we could call it. Personally, I'm more impressed that somehow 80 various strangers on a beach managed to work in such a cohesive and efficient manner as to save six people from drowning. And yet the truth is that these things happen every day. God responding to our cries for help, regardless of their quietness, or if we have found ourselves in another impossible situation, God saves us by grace through faith alone. As our Heidelberg Catechism quotes for us in question and answer 61, why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous? Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith. It is because only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me righteous before God. And because I can accept this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than through faith. God is doing this not because of the action of 80 people, but because of the action of one on the cross. The self-giving agape love of Jesus Christ, dying to secure our faith in him. And not just any faith, but a saving faith that he is gifting upon us. As Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, but a gift from God. A gift of faith in which anything is possible. A God-given faith that doesn't ignore the fact that life is full of tragedy and mishaps, of unanswered rescues, or that we may live in a world where we are treated like dogs, or even at our worst, treat others like dogs. But a faith alone that reminds us that God is searching for us. Not content to let us suffer and sin in vain, but bestowing upon us the hope that he is coming again to save and redeem us once and for all, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you join me for a word of prayer? Lord of hosts, you came and disrupted our lives. You took our categories and our frustrations, and you broke through them. You spoke life into areas people thought deserving of death. Give us this gift too, that our faith alone may be one, that builds your kingdom and not the broken ones of this world. Let us be like the Canaanite woman, constantly crying out to you, not because of what you may or may not do, but because of who you are, our Lord and Savior, from now and into eternity. Amen.